So I want to start today's message by reading a passage from Colossians 1, actually. And it's a prayer that Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes to those in Colossae who he has a great love towards. And it's not because they showed a great love towards him, but because they showed a great love towards Adonai. In the opening intro of the letter, he states that he's the writer, so we know that it's Shaul writing it, and that Timothy is with him. So let's read through it, and then I'm going to go through it during the message on what we hear. So, Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. We keep asking God that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to walk in a manner of worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. We pray that you may be strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might, for you to have all kinds of patience and steadfastness. Yes. What's going on? My slides don't match. Yours don't. Well, all right, so online, I'm being told that the slides weren't loaded up correctly. So if they catch up, they'll catch up. If not, don't worry about it. You're at home, open a book. Open your phone. Open your heart. The prayer of Shaul for the people of Colossae is not just for them, but it's actually for all of us who show a love towards Adonai and the Torah. In fact, this is a guide of what we should not just want to pray for others, but pray over ourselves as well. Because, you know, we're able to pray for ourselves just like we pray for others. We can pray for our own healing. We can pray for our own comfort, for health. We can pray for wisdom that Adonai has for his people. So, let's take a look and break down today what it is that Shaul prays for, what we should be praying for as well, for others and ourselves. And there are seven things in Shaul's prayer in Colossians 1. So let's take a look. I'm going to go through each one of these seven things. We'll start off with the first of the seven. He says, we keep asking God that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His first ask of Adonai is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, wisdom, and understanding. He wants us to be wise and know the words of his. What it is that his wisdom will do for us, we hear that in Proverbs a few times, in fact. But Proverbs 2:10 is where I'm going to go first for this. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Discernment will guard you to deliver you from the way of evil, from those speaking perverse things, who leave the straight path to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing wrong and delight in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and are devious in their ways. The knowledge and wisdom and discernment of the words of Adonai are not just a kind of a book smarts that some people think that it is. They think once they memorize it, they can put a check mark on that, move on to the next thing to cram into their heads. But it's more than being smart so that you look good, dropping these words in conversations or even during prayers. Torah is not meant to just be known, as in being remembered or memorized, but it is to be lived out. Words of Adonai, if only kept as words, instead of translating them into actions in our lives, will just be dead words, regardless of the source. Adonai's words only live when they are lived out in our lives. The prayer that we are to have knowledge of the words of Torah are not to just know them, but as Psalm 119 tells us, to live them out. Psalm 119, starting in verse 33. Teach me the way of your decrees, Adonai, and I will follow them to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your Torah and observe it with all my heart. Help me walk in the path of your mitzvot, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. The testimonies that we want are not that we gain from Torah, but should be the good that we're to share of the Torah. What we share so that others will learn and live by the words and instructions that Adonai gave to all his people. It says, give me understanding of your Torah so that I can observe it, live it out with all my heart. Living it out as living a life that is constrained by the instructions of his, and to share them freely. Now that word constrained by the instructions, when we hear that with worldly ears, can make it sound like what? Am I a prisoner that I'm constrained by the words of God? But in Adonai, we are constrained by his guardrails so that we will not do what is not good for us. We need these guardrails because the flesh wants to do so much that is not good for us. But the words of Torah guide us in ways that are good for us. They constrain us from the bad so that the good can be lived out in our lives. Now, I remember as a child, we had those slot car racing things that went around in figure eights and circles. And if you went too fast, that car going around the curve just tumbled on out, and you didn't get to finish the race. But we also had those guardrails we can put around them so that no matter how fast we went around that curve, it stayed on the track instead of flying off. That's what it is for our lives as well. That's what Torah is, so that we can stay on the path and not go tumbling off into a fiery crash in our lives. So now let's continue on in the verses of Colossians, where it says next, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Here it is in a prayer by Shaul, but in other places, it's an instruction that's given. For example, we read in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we were called, with complete humility and gentleness, patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach in the bond of shalom. I'm going to let you play with that for a while then. Shaul uses the same words, walk in a manner worthy. Here he says, to the calling to which you were called. What is that? If you're a follower and Messiah, you were called to walk in a way that's worthy of the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua's. Then we ask, how? He says, by walking in a way that will keep with unity. Now, many say this is the unity with others. But let's read on a little bit more. It says, to keep unity with the Ruach, with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We walk in a way that is worthy to be in Adonai's kingdom when we are walking in unity with the Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, it's good to be walking in unity with other believers, but it's great to be walking in unity with the Ruach. This is what we are called to do. Walking in unity with the Ruach is walking in unity with God as they are one. So where did Shaul get this idea that we are to be walking in unity with the Ruach, who is God? He knew his Tanakh. He read it in Micah. Micah 6:6, it says, with what shall I come before Adonai? With what shall I bow myself before God on high? Shall I present him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will Adonai be pleased with thousands of rams or hordes of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the firstfruit of my belly for the sins of my soul? He has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking from you. Only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As you walk, practice justice, mercy, and humility, which are the instructions of Torah, the instructions and guardrails that we spoke about earlier. You can bring the offerings and should bring the offerings, but if you bring them without living the life of Torah, then you're not going to be able to walk with the Ruach, with God. A partial walk, meaning that something is left out of your walk, will keep you from the fullness that is Adonai. That partial walk could be because you decided that something was distasteful to you in the Word, so you left it out. Or it could be too hard for you to even try. Or you just did not feel like doing that one thing that he told you to do. It doesn't matter what or why you left something out. It will keep you from walking with Adonai. Regardless how good the other stuff you have in your arms are for him, if you do not have the life that he calls you to have, following all of the instructions that he calls you to follow, you will have not enough. Cain thought he had enough to follow Adonai, but Adonai thought differently. He may have thought that his following of all the instructions, but there was one thing that he didn't like, that he didn't want to do. Now, his brother Abel heard the message to bring the sacrifice with the blood, but Cain didn't care for that. He brought what he thought was better. There is nothing better than what Adonai calls for. We are not to look at Torah and then decide, this is better. I'll just leave that part out. They are instructions for us. And the reason why they are important is told to us in Micah, as we read just a moment ago. Only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That word only seems to carry some great weight to it, and it should for us. Now, the next prayer or instruction from Colossians expands what we were just told to us or prayed over us, to please him in all respects. We are to please him and should want to please him in all respects. Torah has instructions for us if we don't do them to please him. If we don't do them to please him, then they really are just constraints on our lives. Without the desire to please him, then we could consider ourselves as just prisoners in our own lives, prisoners of our own sin. Not because of what will happen to us now, but because of what we are looking forward to for all eternity. And there really are two promises made by Adonai. One is that he will cleanse us so that we can have an eternity in his presence when we accept Messiah Yeshua's blood to cleanse us. The other is that he will not cleanse us when we do not come to him by his instructions. Then we will have an eternity outside of his presence, which, if you don't know what that means, well, you know, that doesn't sound so bad. But when you do know, man, that is really awful. Without being cleansed means an eternity of pain and suffering and no ability to escape it. His love is letting you know of it now. But if you don't listen to him and his words to you now, then it's not going to be his fault, but your own, based on your own decisions, if you don't follow him. When we make the decision to walk with Adonai, we make it as a way of saying, I want to please Adonai, my God. This has to be a decision that we make on our own, and for the reason that we read in Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God. That is good and acceptable and perfect. In his prayer to us, Joel prays that we live a life that pleases Adonai. And now here in Romans, Joel writes them to them and to us that we live out our lives as a sacrifice that is acceptable to Adonai, which is our service to God. We should want this life and not be forced into it by threats or anything that the world thinks God does to us. God doesn't threaten us. He tells us what it will happen if you follow him. He tells us what's going to happen if you don't follow him. And now it's up to you to make the choice. We should want to run the race within the parameters that are spelled out in Scripture. That's the only way that we will be able to not just run the race, but complete it rightly. This is not really hard to do, as the world thinks. We need but to ask Adonai to help us. This actually is the intention of Adonai, to help us want to and to run the race correctly, which means within the instructions of Torah. Look what he says that he will do in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:27 says this: I will put my ruach within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my laws and do them. Adonai not only wants us to do right, but he will place the Ruach HaKodesh within our hearts to be our counselor and to help us stay within the laws that he's laid out before us. It's not meant to be something that we guess whether we're doing right or not. It's not something that we have to try to figure out on our own. He gave us the Torah and the Ruach to help us understand the Torah and to fight our flesh, which is naturally against the readings of Torah. When we partner with the Ruach, then we receive what Shaul prays for us next. That next piece of Colossians is bearing fruit in every good work. Shaul's desire and Adonai's desire is that we bear fruit for him. This is both a prayer and a call, and perhaps the most important call in all of Scripture. When Shaul wrote to Titus, he said this about what he thinks the people of Adonai must do. Titus 3:14. And let our people learn to devote themselves to doing mitzvot, to meet urgent needs, so they will not be unfruitful. The ultimate fruit that we can bear is the salvation message that is accepted and is a life saved. But the path to that is more than just talking the words, but living them out so that they're an example to others. That means not just telling others the good news, but also being ready to do some physical labor to help others in what Shaul calls their urgent needs. Of course, the most urgent need that the lost have is to be saved. The only way for that to happen is their acceptance of Messiah Yeshua as their personal Savior. This is why Yeshua gave this instruction to the disciples at the end of Matthew 28:18. And Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of age." What did Yeshua command them? To follow Torah. He didn't lay down another law. He says, follow Torah. Going out to say words to the lost is good, but words, when connected with actions, has an even greater witness for them. This is why when someone tells you something that Yeshua is the Messiah, when someone says Yeshua is the Messiah to someone, by doing for them makes it more impactful. You know, missionaries, when they go out to mission fields, they don't just go out with words. Almost always they go out to do something, build something, give of themselves along with the word, because it creates a more impactful message. This is what Yeshua was saying when he said this in Matthew 5, starting in 5:14. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." They will see your Father when you both tell them about him and do for him as well. You do for Adonai by doing for the one you're telling the good news to. In this way, you will bring the salvation message to those who need to hear it. Because most of the time, they don't need to just hear it, but also to see it, to better understand it. We also have to remember, as you go forward with the good news, that you are not to be stagnant in your own growth in the knowledge of Adonai, but growing in Adonai and his word. This is why the next part of Shaul's prayer says this, and growing in the knowledge of God. We are to keep growing in the knowledge of Adonai. Keep growing in the scripture. Read the scriptures over and over again. Pray and meditate on them. Look how Peter says. Look what Peter says in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3:17. Since you already know all this, loved ones, be on your guard so that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and loose. Since you already know all this, loved ones, be on your guard so that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your sure footing. Instead, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Don't be led astray and don't lose your sure footing. That word instead kind of makes it sound like it's a this or that decision. You can either be led astray by the lawless one and lose your footing, or you can keep growing in grace and knowledge of Adonai and Yeshua. You know that if you are not going forward with Adonai, you are losing ground. And that's what Peter's saying also. If you're not growing in the knowledge of who your God is, then you are losing your footing and being led astray. For Peter, he only sees two ways to be, moving forward or falling behind. Moving forward means you're with Adonai. Falling behind means you're with the enemy. The prophet Hosea wrote this to the people who were falling, but wanted them to know that there was still hope for them. Hosea 6:1, come, let us return to Adonai, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is smitten, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will rise up, and we will live in his presence. So let us know, let us strive to know Adonai. Like dawn, his going forth is certain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth. Hosea says, let's turn back, because even though Adonai has torn you away, he desires to revive you. He says, know Adonai and know that just as certain as the day, as the dawn of a new day, and the rain that comes when it's commanded by Adonai, he is just that trustworthy and will cleanse you and bring you back into his presence. Even if you are not walking with Adonai your God, or you walked away, you can still turn and walk with him and grow in him. It is his desire that you do. Therefore, he will create ways for you to come back to him. Listen to the encouragement of 2 Samuel 14:14. one of my favorite verses, actually. 2 Samuel 14:14. We will all surely die. Isn't that encouraging? No, that's not the encouraging part. For we will all surely die and be like water split on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but rather he devises plans so that a banished person may not remain an outcast from him. He devises ways. Even if you can't see it, he'll devise a way to bring you back so that you can walk and grow with him. That's the heart of Adonai. For us to be with him and to grow in him. This is his mercy and grace towards all that he's created. That is you and I and everyone else. The sixth thing that Shaul prays for in Colossians and for us is this. We pray that you may be strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might. His prayer for us is the power of the Ruach to strengthen us. And I would also say the Ruach to be within us so that we can work with the Ruach through all that we go through. And to know with the certainty of 100% that he is salvation for you and for everyone. Listen to Shaul's writing in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious riches, he would grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with the power through the Ruach. His prayer for each of us is that we have strength in our own mind, body, and spirit by the Ruach that's within us. The power from him is through the Ruach. This is why we need to be filled with the Ruach, because there is no other way to gain the power of Adonai in our lives except through the Ruach HaKodesh, except through the acceptance of his grace and mercy. For those that wait upon the Ruach, we know this from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Even though we may tire sometimes, without vigor and stumbling, when we wait on the Lord, he will send the Ruach to be our strength so that we can run and not faint before the obstacles that are before us. We wait for Adonai, meaning that we have to have patience sometimes. And that's what Shaul's final point of the prayer was for you to have all kinds of patience and steadfastness. His prayer for patience and steadfastness is important because Adonai's timing is not always our timing. In fact, his timing seems to be very different than my timing. But I know his timing is perfect as opposed to our own. So we have to be patient, not because he says to wait, but because we know that when we do wait, it will be so good for us. Perhaps the best reason for this perseverance is found in Revelation 14. In that chapter, we read about the messages from the three angels. The third angel came and said that we are not to take the mark of the beast on our forehead and our heads. Forehead and our hands. For that would be worshiping the beast. For those who do will have no rest. But here is what is said for those who don't. Revelation 12:14. Here is the perseverance of the Keshodim, the righteous ones, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Why will we need perseverance at that time? Because the mark of the beast will look like the easy way to go. Or even maybe that's the way it'll be presented to us as the only way to go. But we are to have perseverance that will be so that will be accountable to us. So it will be accounted to us, keeping the commandments of God and faith in Yeshua. The world won't see the why we hold on. They don't see the need to keep Torah. But we are told that it is pleasing to Adonai to keep Torah, and we should want to please Adonai. Therefore, we show patience and steadfastness even when it looks like the easier way to live is just to go with the flow. Everyone else is doing it, so why don't I? We see this in the world today. They're all doing that, and it looks easier, and it looks like fun, so why shouldn't we do it too? Because we are called to persevere and to stand strong in the Torah. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:33, sometimes you were publicly exposed to abuses and afflictions, and other times you became partners with those who were treated this way. For you suffered along with the prisoners and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourself a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not lose your boldness, which is great reward. For you need perseverance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. This perseverance is for now, but also after you've done the will of God, which is the Torah. This is a time of waiting and also pushing through, just holding on to what you believe and also giving it to others as well. And all this while being looked down upon by the world for not doing what the world is doing all around you. Shaul prays for us to be strong, and we are to pray for ourselves and others around us to be strong as well. In fact, these are the seven things that he's praying for us, and we should pray the same things. Knowledge of his will, wisdom and spiritual understanding, a walk worthy of the Lord, to be pleasing to him, to bear good fruit in all that we do, to grow in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened by the Ruach, and to grow in patience and steadfastness. Adonai, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the prayer that is Shaul's for us. And we know his word lines up with your word. Ruach, we just pray that we also would line up with your word, that we also would persevere through all the things that the world has that's coming against us, that we would persevere. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.